Hey guys, welcome back to a new episode of Let's Chat. It's a weird one for me, guys, because as many of you know, I have not posted any new content in a while. I will get to that, but at the moment now, I have my really good friend. He's kind of become a house favorite. Osa, hey, everyone.
What's up, Jennifer? What's up? Let's chat.
As you know what, it's crazy because it's like I've had so many things in my mind. I've been kind of enjoying life, hence the reason why I've been MIA. I've been enjoying life, taking care of things, but I've always been clued on what's going on, what's being talked about. And I was having a conversation with a girlfriend of mine, and we were talking about obviously relationships and dating, and the topic came up about vetting a partner. And I realized that normally we don't really talk about how to vet someone to see if they're the right fit for us. It's always, this person shown interest and you shared it back. We're always talking about, at the moment, current topic now is high value men. What does that look like? What is he looking for? What does a woman have to be to attract that type of guy? But we never really go further than that. And I really want to get a male's perspective in terms of what the vetting process looks like for them through their eyes, and then maybe some suggestions on how women can kind of apply that to their process of looking for a potential male partner. So, Osa, as an guys, okay, first of all, Osa, plug your social for me, please.
Oh yes. I am at Osa the Healer. OSA the Healer, spelled regular English.
Okay.
And that's any and everywhere.
Please follow him. He does dope content. His music is fire. So definitely follow him on Insta. But the reason why I've added the additional plug is because Osa is a very attractive man. Okay.
Thanks.
And you're welcome. And most women would look at you and think he's over 6 feet, check, chocolate, check. Right?
Okay.
Now, if they don't have the opportunity to get to know you, a lot of people will just run off of that and they will carry on. And I just want to get your input in terms of when you are looking for a potential partner, what is your vetting process like?
Oh yeah, that's a great question. If I had one, I'd probably be in a better situation. Yeah, no, I mean, so as time goes on, yeah, I've just been building up kind of some things, but just try to base them around like my priorities and my values. So, I'm still shallow, so I like looks. However, going a little bit beyond that, I think it that's when like my priorities come into play. So like for me, my spirituality is becoming more and more important every day. So having some sense of like spiritual grounding, or at least understanding where she's at, is really, really important to me. So I kind of try to put that at the forefront. And then just the overall sense of kind of, responsibility and worldview. I think if we share a similar worldview and a similar sense of responsibility, I think those are like the three haymakers right there.
Okay. And why do you think a lot, so I know you said earlier, if you had a proper vetting process, you would be in a better situation. And why do you think that most of us don't have a vetting process down, or at least at the forefront of our minds?
Yeah, I think for me, you know what I mean? Like, I say I want this and I want that and I want this and I say all these things, and so there's kind of one in place, but typically I'll just throw it away for some shallow reason. She might just look that good, and then I'll be like, oh, I'll give her a chance.
Oh my
So,
God.
like it usually I think a lot of people do have some sense of it. It's just that, like, we throw it away for something really shallow. We see somebody who maybe looks, you know, overcompensates with good looks or like money or something, just usually something shallow. And then we let that kind of make us reshift our priorities. And then that's why we all get into a trouble. But most people kind of know, especially, you know, you getting up there in age, you know what I'm saying? Like you kind of know already, but usually we just throw it away for something shallow. And in the moment, we just start calling audibles and then it goes to heck. So.
Yeah. And I think, I agree. And I think sometimes is we get convicted in the sense of, not even convicted, what's the word? We know exactly what we want, right? But say, for instance, we haven't had, you know, the attention of a male or female in a very long time, right? Or say, for instance, you know, the person that you're, the type of person that you're looking for hasn't necessarily shown up. So then you start to cut around corners, right? And then you start to like, okay, well, this is this really that important to me? If it's going to stop me from being able to get somebody. And I think that's when we start to compromise, in a sense, what are some of our standards. And we end up paying for that. Because the things that we, every single time, it is like the things that we said, okay, like this is a deal breaker. Then we go, I can deal with that. I can handle that. Oh, it's not too bad. 2-3 months down the line, that same thing that you said is rearing its ugly head, and you're like, "How the fuck did I get here?"
Yeah. Yep. And you know, and a lot of times, and it's just not putting your foot down with your constitution, like some. Mm. Some a lot of times, like for me, I've tried to ignore, you know, something at the front. And I mean, for men kind of do it in a way that, like, because a lot of men kind of understand that, all right, you're not going to have everything. Right. So you know, a lot of men will kind of like, all right, we understand that we're making, a certain sacrifice, and we don't expect generally to have it all. So we'll make certain sacrifices somewhere in the name of, all right, well, she doesn't have to be perfect. So that can be a slippery slope if you let it. And we just have to be more discerning. I think men and women, but a lot of men too, have to be more discerning about what the foundational issues are and you know, what's really important. Because I mean, a lot of the dudes that I know that I talk to when we have conversations, I mean, most men are okay with letting the small stuff slide, or not, I don't want to say the small stuff, but no, like they have a good sense of prioritizing. All right, what's really worth losing the relationship over? Like,
right.
You know, if most men, if they got a good woman and they know it, they're not going to let something that's insignificant or relatively insignificant blow the whole thing to hell. So that can work if it's done with a partner who has the equal mindset. However, that's not often the case. So one party, which what I've seen is a lot of times the male party has more desire to kind of stick to their guns, and then, you know, it's not always the case for their partner. So.
Yeah, right. Definitely. And why do you think that is, though? Because I feel like a lot of times women, we have to compromise in some type of way to have what we claim that we want, right? Where a guy would be like, listen, I said what I said. I want her to be like this. I want her to look like this. And I'm not budging. Is it because they know that there's options abound? Whereas women, sometimes we feel like, oh, slim pickings here. So... I might as well make do with what I have or what I can get.
I think that's part of it. Yeah, statistically, right? Yeah, guys don't have to settle with certain things because, there's so many options. And if it's going to be as shallow as looks, and it can be because there's so many beautiful women, and just population wise, there's more women in the world. But even in certain cities, like I live in D.C., so like I was out. It's funny, like, cause I was out with a friend of mine. You know, she just came back to the country. She's talking about she's trying to get settled, and so we were out, and I'm like, "You came to the wrong city if you're trying to get settled with the man." And we were sitting at this, we were in this little hookah lounge or whatever. This was Sunday during the day on a Sunday. We were sitting there, and we're sitting close to the front, and like literally every 10, 15 minutes, a group of like three or four women walked in, and I'm just like, "Look, what kind of man would want to be wiped up in the city like this?" It statistically, it doesn't make sense. So yeah, there's that. And then also too, though, I was just talking to another friend of mine, another woman, and like that yesterday too. And she was talking about, like, she said, "Well, you know, yada yada yada. She knows men want a woman that's submissive and so on and so forth." And then she said, "Yeah, I'm willing to do that, you know, as long as he just, as long as he proves that he's worthy," something to that effect. And I hear a lot of women say that. And here's the thing that makes it difficult for men to be, some men to be in relationships, is because a woman is usually going to wait to decide if he's worthy of X, Y, and Z. And so, but when a man gets into a relationship, he's already decided that she's worthy. So as soon, you know, so the when you like they, you know, they say like women have access to sex, or control access to sex, and men control access to relationships. So when a man decides that he wants to be in a relationship, a woman is then starting to start the process of deciding if he's worthy, and it starts there. So what you'll have is that a man will be in a relationship with a woman for 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, and she's still deciding if he's worthy. And she won't really decide until, most women are not really trying to make that final decision until they get a ring. But what happens is you've been with the man who's already decided 3 years ago. And so there's an imbalance in what sometimes what one is willing to do. Because if a man, if one, it doesn't have to be a man or a woman, but let's take gender out of it. If one party has already decided that this person is worthy, and then the other person is still deciding, that I see that as a huge problem in a lot of relationships. Because you, if one person already decided they're acting a certain way, if another person hasn't decided yet, they're going to act differently too, and there's going to be serious issues because one party hasn't decided that the other is worthy enough of things like trust, respect, decency, submission, da, 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 da. I mean, so that's a huge problem in relationships. So if women are waiting 3 years to decide, or you know, after they have a baby, then they want to decide if he's worthy or not. I mean, that's a privilege. That must be nice. Because men be decided quickly.
I mean, you saying it like that makes sense, right? Because I think a lot of times is as a woman, a relationship with somebody, right? And we know that we care about them, we might even love them. You know, we have all of these different things in our head, and we sometimes we don't really take into consideration our partner's feelings, right? Because a lot of times is we're thinking about self. And let's just be honest, ladies, like we think about self, and a lot of times it's like, okay, we're in a relationship now. Okay, what does this now look like for me in the next year or two? Because we don't want to, quote unquote, waste time in a relationship where it may not lead to marriage, right? Because And for women who've never been married before, the goal is marriage. The goal is marriage. And it's not necessarily marriage because you want to be a wife. It's because society has told you that is where you get your value. And that's why everyone is ready to be Mrs. and ready to show off the ring on social media. And everyone's asking for Sierra's prayers and everything. Send me my man, because then that means that I am deemed valuable in the eyes of my peers and in society, right? Okay. So when a man tells you to submit, You're like two, right? Because there's a level of vulnerability and humbleness that needs to be had to listen to a man and trust, huge word, that number one, he protects you.
So guide and lead you, right?
And I think a lot of men kind of use that wanting a woman to be submissive as a as just a reason on why they can't be committed. It's like, oh, well, you know, I need a submissive woman. But are you a man that can lead? How about that?
Yeah, and that's the woman's job to figure. That's what I'm saying. She got to figure that out. That's quickly. Don't waste time. It shouldn't take you 2 years to figure that out. Like
No,
you
it's
got,
not.
yeah.
It should no, it should never take you that long. But this is where the vetting process comes from. And this is why I wanted to have this conversation because I feel like a lot of times people just go into relationships aimlessly looking at the goal of marriage, but they don't know how to vet to
Well,
see if their partner can even get them down there. And sometimes it's not even in.
or
Like, what are certain characteristics and qualities and things that you are seeing or not seeing? And how do you properly see that so you don't waste 2, 3 years with someone who wasn't even going to do those things in the first place?
well, yeah, I would push back a little bit. I think the part that's missing though is that a lot of people are getting to relationships and they're not really thinking about marriage. Like they may think about it like, oh, maybe this could, but like a lot of people don't go into relationships like straight on and be like, yo, yeah, I'm thinking about getting married. And they don't put that out the gate. It's like you want to just get your feet wet in the pool and then decide, like we said earlier, you want to decide, if this person is worthy, and then your vetting process becomes a 2-year process. However,
No, go ahead, go ahead. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I'll let you finish and then I have something to say. But go ahead, go ahead.
I mean, I was just gonna say, like, if you go into it with marriage out front, and you're not like, oh, I'm just seeing this out, or we're just talking, then your vetting process becomes a whole lot quicker. You're doing these things, all these questions, like you're just asking them up front. All right, is he capable of leading? Can he be lead? You're asking these questions up front, and you're making observations, and you're being clear with it on both sides. Because men, we make observations, we ignore them. Women do. Everybody does it. You're making observations, and you're making value judgment based on what you believe in. So if we have this intention, like, okay, I want to marry this person, a lot of stuff happens quicker, in my opinion. It would happen quicker. But we don't have that mentality. That's why we be in 2-year relationships, and then it just ends one day.
Yeah. But I also have to say though, sometimes though, okay, so I think there's it's a twofold, right? You have those who are in companionship, right? They don't necessarily want marriage. They want to be with somebody. And then maybe if it's good, we'll see how it goes and transpires. It might lead to marriage, right? But there's also some people who are wanting or who get into a relationship and they're like, I want this to lead to marriage, but they don't have that conversation with their partner, right? Because fear of them not being on the same page, fear of potentially scaring them away because it might be too early, all of these different things. So you'll have girls that will be completely open and vulnerable with their girlfriends and be like, listen, I'm with this guy and I want to get married. But then they go on a date. That's what I'm saying. It all starts in the beginning, right? So they'll go on the date, and the guy would be like, "Oh, I'm not looking for anything serious," or "Yeah, I don't mind, relationship." But because their value is so tied in having a man, minimum what they truly want, right? And they quote unquote go with the flow. And they get the guy. And once they get the guy, they're now trying to be like, okay, what, they're now speed tracking, like, okay, we've done this, we've done this, we've done this. We're on the road to marriage. And he's like, wait, hold on, what's going on here? And he's like, now we're no longer on the same page, but the goal was to get into a relationship. For him, he's satisfied that he's here. He has a companion. He has someone he can kick it with, someone he can sleep with, and he's fine. She's come under the pretense that she's okay with that, but in reality, she wants to stunt on Instagram
and have all these different things.
And she's compromised herself for a short-term gain.
Right. I'm sure that happens a lot. And so, that's simple. Have the conversation up front. And, like, not to be like, you know, not to be like, yo, I need a ring in 6 months, but just getting that information is like data collection. Like, dating, it should be short for data collection. Data collecting. That's what we're going to call dating. Dating is, it should be data collecting, right?
Yes.
So you should be collecting data on whoever you're dealing with. Like, are they even interested in marriage, right? And you don't have to force nobody, but if that's what you're looking for and you know that they're not looking for it, if they tell you that from Jump Street, all right, cool. They may be the best person in the world, you think, but if they're just not looking for that, then you already not on the same page. You need not go any further. He's not going to change. Like, women be thinking sometimes that they can trick men or convince men, or they got a WAP that'll make them change his mind. No woman really has it like that. I mean, not these days anymore. Maybe back in the day that probably used to work, but those are outdated tactics. If a man's like not really going for it, then just save, you know, because even though women be acting like there's a shortage of men, in a sense there it kind of is, but women be acting like there's no men. So if they change that mentality and just realize, you know, okay, well, I need to find the type of man that I need, then their processes would just become a lot quicker and they won't be wasting so much time. And then they blame men for wasting their time, but like, that's the trick bag. If you knew he wasn't where you needed him to be at, and then you spent your time with him, actually, you wasted his time first, and then it just backfired.
Actually, she didn't even waste in touch. She didn't even waste his time. She wasted hers.
Well, right, exactly. Yeah, you're right. Exactly. Yeah, not even his time. Yeah, right. Because he was good. Right. Yeah, yes. That's exactly right. She wasted her own time. There you go. She that's exactly her. A better way to say it.
And I love that you said dating is about data collection. Because it's true. I think when we think about dating, it's all this romance and there's all of this other stuff, which is great, right? But I think that does cloud, right? And one thing that I've realized and I've learned now is that I am not going to not speak my truth on what I'm looking for and what it is that I want. With everything going forward in my life now, it's intentional. If I desire marriage, I'm putting that out.
Right.
I don't want to waste your time. And I don't have time to waste. Okay. Right. I think my time wasting years have gone, you know, exactly. And I'm at a point in my life where I'm like, listen, this is what I desire. And this is what I'm seeking. And it's okay. And I think sometimes we have to be okay as women to be able and comfortable and strong and confident enough to say, this is what I want, and be okay if we don't get the response that we want.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. And just move the heck on. And then also though, you know, open up doors and horizons where you may not have thought about it before, because women be having these really high bar entrance exams, you know, and so, you know, so like women are making their own pool small, in my opinion, you know, and then that makes it difficult. When you make your own pool small, yeah, statistically, yeah, it's not good anyway, but
right.
Women do a good job of their own making it small. Like, I got a friend, she's like 5'2", talking about she want a 6'12" man, and that's cool. But don't cast out the shorter guy who's probably going to be, because, you know, us tall, dark, and handsome dudes, Good luck, man.
Listen, Linda, listen. Listen, and you know what? Okay. I'm gonna keep it up. I'm just gonna be completely honest. I understand your homegirl because I'm not tall, right? I'm not. And I've always been attracted to guys who are 5'10" and up. And I've always, wanted that for myself because I just thought I'm really sure I want someone taller than me. And then, thinking of down the line in the future, if I were to have a child, I would also want that child to be tall. Just all of these different things, right? Okay, tell me what did I benefit from? From all the guys that I either went on a date with or have actually really dated, I didn't get anything from their height. At the
Exactly.
end of the day, that height
Exactly.
didn't look that great when things were going well. I didn't sit back and be like, oh, well, at least he's 6'1". No, I.
Never. There's no woman ever.
No woman ever. It says no one. Like, that to me became so irrelevant. Irrelevant. And then, I had to start to change my mentality and shift my way of thinking and saying, I have dismissed a whole heap of people who may have shown me interest because they did not meet my height requirement. And I
Yep.
just thought, how, what a waste, number one, of potentials. And number two, is that a valid criteria to X somebody off? Had nothing to do with their values, had nothing to do with their character,
Right.
off of something that they can't do anything about is genetic. I dismissed them. And I have to say, at the time, my vetting process was juvenile as hell. Juvenile.
No, that's real. No, that's true.
And I was willing to put physical things ahead of things that in actuality, when you actually get into a relationship with someone, the physical part, yes, it gets your attention. I completely agree. But it doesn't keep your relationship.
Right.
The things,
And
yeah, go ahead.
yeah, what was I talking to? I was talking to Tolu, yeah. Like I was saying, like, okay, shout out my brother Tolu.
Hey,
What you
shout
want?
out to
Yeah. We was talking, I was saying to him, like, yeah, like it tends to be opposites attract, but like-minded people stay together. So yeah, like some tall guys like short girls sometimes. I mean, but it just, whatever. And it makes sense that it doesn't really make a lot of sense, but
No.
sure, women may like tall guys, but yeah, and that's cool, but yeah, that's not really gonna keep y'all together at the end of the day. So putting an emphasis on the things that will probably keep you together with, yeah, just it's just gonna result in longer term relationships and healthier ones.
Exactly. And it's true. And it's one of those things where I think when you are starting the dating process, right?
Yeah.
There has to be a streamline of questions that every person needs to ask, right? And it's all can be personalized and tailored towards what your objectives are in terms of where you see yourself fit for a relationship. If you're in your early 20s, yeah, you may not want to be married. So your intention is not to find, a husband. It might just be I can travel with, someone who I can have fun with, someone who I can, do kick it with and do things with. And that's fine. But I feel like if you are a woman over 25, especially in this time where it just seems to be slim, for men of quality. Not high value men. I don't subscribe to that lotion.
Not with any man. That's the thing. Like, that's what, you know, that's the crazy thing. People think that, like, this stuff Kevin Samuels would say only applies to, like, high value. No, man, all men be thinking
that. All men.
Yeah. That's what,
yeah, that's it's the, all it's men. There. It's not this. Oh, okay. I'm only going to look at a high value man this way, and then all you other scrubs.
Right. No. Most of the stuff he's saying applies to most men. Like, I mean, it's just unfortunate the conversation only goes that way because women be saying they want money, the money aspects. But even the regular, average, everyday Joe Schmo, a lot of the same, not all of it, but a lot of the same things apply. So, you know, and it shouldn't be based on, like, doing, submitting and all these things. It shouldn't be based on how much money a man has. Jesus.
No, and this is because I was talking to my friend about this, and she was like, you know, she wants to date someone who's rich, who has money, and I get that. And I said, you know what's worse with dating someone who's rich and has money is that type of man who can't give.
Wow. Yeah.
I said I would rather be with a man. I mean, obviously, I would want to be with a man who is, you know, financially sound and can take care of himself and my children are included in the mix. But I would rather, if I had to deal with someone who did not make a lot of money, I would rather deal with someone who was able to give than a man who had it in excess and you had to beg for him to even give you an.
That's a really good point. Yeah. Hello.
Hey, sorry about that, guys. We had a small technical error, but we're back on. So, yeah, so what I was saying, Osawa, is that I would rather be with a guy who had money, but if he wasn't rich in excess, was able to give, than be with a guy who had or was deemed as high value because he makes six figures and he can't even give you $10, and if he did give it to you, you had to beg him to do so. And I think a lot of times is that when you start to think, this is what I want, this is what I'm looking for, you gotta be not only what the man does, but his character, because that's is going to be the fundamentals in your relationship. Is this man a giver?
Right. Yeah, because with a lot of these basic descriptions of the type of men that women say that some women say that they want, a lot of these guys are jerks and assholes, you know. Mm-hmm. So I mean, you can describe all of these surface level things, and he got to make this kind of money and live in this kind of air, but he has, I mean, and rightfully so, he's earned the right to be a bit of a jerk. But if that's it, and he's not gonna want to be with only you, he's got options, you know. So it's like, you got to be kind of thoughtful about the character of a man. That's important. Of the person, just character is so much more important than anything else.
Exactly. And I think a lot of times is that we don't know how to judge character because we're distracted by the physical or the financials.
Right.
Lack of financials as well, right?
Yeah.
Or one that's in excess. And I think this is why we get into, you know, these situations or these relationships that go nowhere, because we get high off of somebody, especially when we like somebody and we're physically attracted to them. A lot of the times, you know, the hard hitting questions, you don't really get that. You know why? Because you don't want to come off too aggressive, too serious, too, do you know what I mean? Everybody wants to be laid back and chill and I'm going to just go with the flow. Where has that taken you? Where has that flow taken you? What, this lazy river
flowing through.
when
Right.
it stops, where does it leave you? At a jaded, rocky area that leads to nothing but disappointment and heartache? Or should we be sat, sitting down or playing something and be like, hey, what's your concept of family?
Yeah,
What's your
exactly.
philosophy? What's your philosophy on marriage?
Yep. And my favorite question, what's your relationship with God?
Oh, yes. Yes.
If you say you believe in God and that's not in your conversation, y'all gonna have some problems. Y'all got some real problems up down the line. And then the uncomfortable part is that most of the times people don't be realizing it, and they think that like later down the line they'll think it's that it they'll pick something small, right? And they'll think it's like this small insignificant thing is, but it's really like, nah, you didn't even know if y'all were on this similar spiritual path or similar spiritual grounding from the beginning. If that ain't right, if that's not understood in the beginning, I mean, assuming that one person cares about it, but if that's not understood in the beginning, it's just going to be miserable later, and you're going to come up with all these BS reasons to not like the person. And really, honestly, it's just you didn't acknowledge whether or not they had a spiritual grounding that's going to make you last in this relationship. But you didn't realize it, so you're not thinking about it. They obviously have no clue because you didn't tell them about it. So then that becomes the issue, and then he feels like, oh, why is she tripping over all these things? And she feels like these things are important. They're not. But she loafed on deciding whether or not, because that's really what is going to determine for most women, especially historically, that's really what decides if a woman is going to be submissive to a man, is if she knows that he's submissive to God. But the thing is, women aren't figuring that out. So they're missing out on the, that's why it takes them, that's why they're taking 2, 3 years to figure out if they should submit or if that he's worthy. It doesn't take that long if you understand what your priorities are. If you need to know how submissive he is to God. And then, in my opinion, people who say they believe in God and stuff like that, people do whatever they want. But if you say you believe in God, then that's what determines if you should be submissive to the man. That's it. I mean, I don't have all the answers, but that's a good place to start. If he can submit to God, then he should be worthy of you submitting to him, because then if you have a understanding of his submission to God, then you know that that's really what's going to hold your relationship, not him, not the man. Men were imperfect, and what happens is women are looking for a relationship with God through man, but because they kind of turn a blind eye to the God part, they put all those expectations into the man directly. And that's what screws every relation, not every, but like 90% of the relationships up, because women are looking for God, like through the man as if he's supposed to be it, but he's not supposed to be it. He's supposed to be submissive to God, the conduit to God, so that you then therefore can submit to him, because that's what's going to cover your relationship, not his old erroneous, human imperfect self. He's always gonna mess up. So like that's why it's always weird. These good relations, otherwise good relationships, always come to an end because, oh, the guy made a mistake or he did something that she didn't like. Well, where's your faith in God? And why is that not there? Why is that not holding you up? Because especially when now, let's say the vetting, no matter what happens in the vetting process, you can't even, no one's going to do it perfectly. But if you establish a relationship for some time, again, the man has already decided a long time ago that he's going to commit, and he already knows that he's imperfect, and he knows you're imperfect. He's going to commit. But then, to hold him to some standard that only God is capable of, it becomes unfair in a sense. And that's men who are doing the committing. The men who are trying to be committed, the men who are getting married, you know, a lot of them are just struggling and having a hard time. And then the other men are scared. And then the younger men are really scared. They don't want to get around. You know, if I was a young dude and I sat and listened to me talk about my relationship history, I would never get married. I'm a little bit foolish, though. I don't care. I don't give up. I mean, love is infinite. But, you know, but imagine, like, a sensible young dude, and they just look around, or they talk to other guys and see all the stuff that they're going through. I mean, it's difficult. It's difficult. But that's because a lot of us we don't put our foundation with God or lack thereof in the forefront.
No, and I think a lot of people don't even have that conversation. I mean, you know, when do you normally have a conversation when you are in the early stages of dating about God and relationship and even, you know, saying, hey, this Sunday, let's go to church or whatever is your faith is that that person, hopefully you guys are equally yoked, right? Number one, because when people say,
God can mean so many
different things to so many people. So it's having an understanding of, are we talking about the same God, number one? Number two, do you have a personal relationship with him?
Right.
Look like, right? Okay, number three, if we are both on the mutual page about our faith and about, you know, the importance that that plays in our life, how do we make that a part of this dating process?
Yeah. My recommendation is do all that on the first date. Stop wasting time.
Seriously. Oh, yeah. I completely agree. But see, this is pretty because they don't look at dating as dating. They look at it from a romantic point of view. So the first date is while you're inquiring to get to know each other. A lot of times is nobody wants to have those heavy conversations, right? And I think that's the best time to, because I don't know you from a can of paint.
Right.
This is me trying to get to know you. So
right.
I need to get all my hard-hitting questions out now, not when I start to formulate an idea of you or my feelings for you start to grow. And then I start to like, should I ask that? I don't know. I don't want him to think that I'm this, or I don't want him to think that I'm not. F right. that.
Go ahead. No, I was just going to double down on that, though, and say that, look, for real, when those things are important to you and you're living them, they're not even hard questions. It's not even hard. It shouldn't even be a hard conversation to talk about God. If you have a relationship with God, that's not a hard question.
No. Okay,
and that'll let you know if it gets all uncomfortable and awkward. All right, keep it moving. Similar thing. And even if, you know, because everybody's finding their, I guess the only hard part is that everybody is on their own path. And so they're dealing with it in different ways. So in a sense, I don't want to be too dismissive and say it's like super easy. We're all trying to figure it out. But I mean, if that's your value and your priority, just like, let's just say financial stability. I'm not saying like the person has to be rich, but if you value financial stability, you should be comfortable having a conversation about finance.
Yes.
On either end, you know, hey, you know, how's your credit? And, you know, you only have credit score, but how's your credit, right? Da, 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 da. People who are, what investments are you? Like people who are comfortable with their finances, it's not a hard conversation. But people who are not addressing their finances, it's going to be uncomfortable. Same thing if you're talking about God. People who are comfortable with their relationship with God, yeah, they can talk about it, whether they have one or they don't, whether they have a relationship or they don't, it's comfortable. But if they're not really addressing that issue, it's going to be more difficult. So you want to ask that, like, that's the first big question for me. Like,
yeah, I completely agree. But even when it comes to the finances, I feel like a lot of times as we, I feel like it's not necessarily the question. Okay, I think it's twofold. I think it's lack of asking the question.
Being too shallow
with the type of questions that we're asking, right? So,
yeah, okay.
Somebody who deems, as you said, someone who is financially sound, right? Oh, you're looking for someone who is kind of on the same level as you. You'll be like, okay, you might see the type of car they're driving, and you might be like, okay, they could afford that car. Not knowing if it's on finance, not knowing if they're struggling, with the payments or if it's paid off, right? Okay, they see the car. They might see the drip, right? Okay, you might see what he wears. Okay. The huge debate that was taking place on Twitter, right, about $200 meal dates and all this other stuff. Can he spend bread? A lot of times people use that and equate that as this person has money, right? But they don't go deeper to be like, yeah, how are you with money? Are you a spender? Are you a saver? What is your debt to income ratio look like? Student loans. Are you making payments on those? Have you deferred? How much student loans do you have? Is there any other debt? And I feel like a lot of times people don't have those conversations full stop, even in relationships.
Absolutely.
People don't have that conversation at all. But you're looking for financial security.
But and that's the thing though, man. People be knowing. I don't think people don't know. People be knowing what to do. They just don't do it, or they take their sweet time doing it. People be knowing, man. People be pretending like, I don't know what to do, man. Y'all know what to do. We adults, man. Like, we too old for certain things. We just know, we know that we're not doing it. You know, when we were in our 20s, it's like, all right, cool. We was trying to figure stuff out. But I'm about to be, what am I turning this? 37. So it's like, I'm not, certain things we know better already. We know better. So have these conversations. It's not that we don't know what to do. It's just that we don't, it's more so the how and the when. So, I mean, but my thing is just start doing it early. Okay. If you miss out on a few people, or you scare the guy off, all right, maybe you can figure out, but you got to practice doing it in order to retool your strategy. You can't come up with a strategy and then assume it's going to be perfect. But really, for real, at this point in our lives, conversations around marriage, finances, and spirituality, if they scare off anybody, then that's your spirit guides doing you a favor. Okay. Like if it does, because, oh, the other thing that we're talking about, this is what I want to say, is overall what it boils down to is maturity. That's really what all this boils down to. It's, you may not feel comfortable and blah blah blah, but it's a mature, these are mature conversations, and we need to allow these into our dating conversations, our data collecting activities. We need to just put maturity into it, because if you can't be mature from jump, good luck trying to do it, a year in. You got to set the foundation of maturity, okay? And maturity means I'm addressing, look, these are the issues that I'm probably struggling with. These are my, insecurities or whatever, and being comfortable with those and being mature enough to recognize them and how they may even show up, and talk, having deeper, further conversations. But you stuck on, you've been with somebody for a year, you don't know their credit score, or you don't know they struggle. So you don't know they're struggling with their bills. You don't know what religion they believe in. You don't even know if they believe in God. Jeez, what you been doing?
Nothing. That's what I'm saying. Doing all the superficial things that people think constitutes a relationship.
And
For
we can
me.
get away with
Because
it.
that is what's on the pedestal. That's what's kind of being modeled. Not to go too deep, right? Not to be sensitive, not to share. The fear of rejection is real on both ends, right? So for me to not get my feelings hurt, I'm gonna go and play on the surface, and I'll wait for you to get there. And once you get there, okay, then I can finally do it. And people are waiting for somebody to be vulnerable.
and somebody to be open and somebody to be all of this. And that's why sometimes the relationships never get to that point, because you're low key competing with the person you're with.
Right. Right.
Like, I mean, how does that work?
It doesn't. That's why we see the numbers.
Oh, sorry. Your sound. Here we go.
How much of them now?
Yeah, better. Thank you.
Yeah. Ultimately, that's what we're dealing with. And that's why none of this works, you know, because folks are just kind of waiting and dilly-dallying and stuff like that. So, yeah, just being open, honest, and mature, and just, you know, bringing stuff to the front. I mean, like, my thing is, all right, is what I have to hold on to and what I'm, whatever it is I'm keeping back, is it worth, whatever I'm keeping back, is it worth missing out on what I could possibly have if I do the opposite?
Right. Yeah.
So, I'd rather, you know, she may be the baddest chick I've ever been with, but, I mean, if I can't be open with her up front, it doesn't matter.
Right, but for me personally,
I have to I guess for me, I've learned to have those deeper conversations like a lot quicker, just because of my experience, you know, kind of like what we were referencing earlier, like the tall, dark, and handsome thing. Like, I could be more of a commodity than anything. The women won't even really like me, and they'll give me a lot of time a day, but they don't even really like me as a person, like who I am on the surface. So I've learned to, like, just hit these conversations like really, really quick. I know it's not easy. I say it like it's easy, but I, for me personally, I just have to do that, because women would get, like, you know, they'll just hang out with me and, like, be in my space, not really even like me, you know, but they'll just hang out and be in my face. So I have to have those conversations a lot quicker, just because I'm trying to get somewhere. And if you ain't on board, then I need to keep it moving.
Right. And I think also when it comes to that is that people need to, men and women, I think men are a lot better than this than women, obviously, because, you know, they've kind of been groomed to understand part of, you know, the dating process, but rejection and being okay that I might put myself out there and somebody may not be on the same accord as me, and I won't take it to heart. And it won't be as extreme, and it won't stop me from getting to where I need to get to. And I think for women, sometimes we downplay ourselves a lot to get the attention and the affection of a man. So to say, you know, I actually want someone like this and like that, the guy I might be sitting across may not exemplify any of that. Or if I test the waters and say something and I see how he reacts, okay, I'll bring it in. Or I won't touch that topic again.
Right.
And you end up playing yourself, but because you don't want him to reject you, you downplay, you know, how you truly feel about a topic, your position on a particular stance on something, or how you feel inside. And then you go, I'm okay. I can deal with that. I can handle that. And then 2-3 years down the line, if you even get there, that same thing that you swallowed and stomached is going to be one of the reasons why you two are no longer together.
Right.
And I think a lot of times is if we understand that the quicker I understand where a guy feels about certain things that are important to me, the easier it will get to find somebody that I like. But if I have to sit here and pretend that I'm okay with your answer, I'm only wasting my time and I'm only playing myself.
Right.
You're not playing him.
Right.
Right. He don't care. He's over there. And I realized, no, I have to unapologetically be okay with being myself and not everyone being 100% on board.
with it.
Right.
Because it just shows me you're not for me.
Right. And also, the other benefit I would say real quickly, the other benefit, though, it could help decide if the way that you are and the things that you decide to, you know, hold up high, if they're really worth it or not.
Mm.
Because you may be a certain type of way. Like I may be a certain type of way, but if I get into the right relationship, I may realize, oh, maybe I should change this because it's not beneficial.
Right, right.
So that's possible too.
Right. I completely agree. I just think that, number one, honesty within yourself to know exactly what it is that you want. And then number two, remove of being rejected. And number three, as Osa said, ask these questions early, first date. Don't hesitate. Don't hesitate. And don't put a lot of stock into somebody who hasn't shown you anything. So you shouldn't be sitting there just trying to look pretty on a date. Do you know what I mean? Like, granted, your looks is, it brought you enough to the point where he wanted to ask you out on a date, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So he's seen that side of you already. It has appealed to him. It has piqued his interest. Great. Go to the date looking great, smelling good, right? But don't, all of that in a bag of sauce, you know what I mean? But don't sit up here and just only be like, oh, okay, I need to make sure that, you know, my lashes don't fly off and, you know, my hair is laid. And you know, the waist is notched. That's you're missing out on the important things. Is can this person be a part of my life?
Right.
Be a part of my space? Is he worthy of my time past this? Because what we realize is that time is so precious. We cannot get that back. That is one thing we cannot get back.
Right.
And what you don't want to do is to perpetually find yourself in time consuming relationships that go nowhere.
Word. That is a good word, Jenny.
Snap, 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 snap. Right. Trust me, life. If you want to learn something, let life just not have its way, because it can't have its way, because, you know, you make your own decisions. But hopefully the decision that you learn from, you don't continuously make, right?
Indeed.
And that's why vetting is so important, because if you have been in a relationship where it's, you know, it's leading nowhere, it's not leading to marriage, it's not leading to anything fruitful, what you would do is chalk it up as a hard lesson, but a lesson learned nonetheless. But thankfully we have this thing called life, and thank God that we are able to be a part of it. And we just have to tell ourselves, I can't go in doing the same thing that I did in the past, because I'm going to yield the same results.
Exactly. Right? Every time.
Every time. Mm-hmm. Every time. And life's karmic ways has a way of testing you to see, have you learned? Or have you claimed you have, yet you're still doing the same thing? So this is why I'm saying to you, and I'm just now to all my listeners, and even to myself, is that when you've gone through something and you realize it has not benefited you, take the time to ask the important questions early on.
Early.
And not only do you ask, but as you said, Osa, earlier on, observe.
Yeah.
Because people can talk a good game, but their actions always tell the truth. Always tell the truth. So when someone says, oh yeah, I have a relationship with God, but they don't know how to, they can't quote a Bible scripture, and I'm just saying for those who are Christians, or they don't go to church, or they don't do anything that shows that they have a relationship with God, you know that they're just saying sounds good.
Right.
But they don't live it. So we also have to be wary that while we are asking these important questions, sometimes people know to say things because it sounds good. What you need to do is to absorb that information in your little folder, mental Rolodex, park it to a side, and then let the behavior of that person demonstrate their actions or demonstrate their words or what they said.
Yep.
And then you can then be like, you know what? This person is full of shit. Gots to go. And then don't feel no type of way about it. Cut your losses short. And that you may have wasted 3 to 6 weeks rather than 3 years.
Yeah.
4 years.
Yeah.
Definitely. Well, let guys. Huh?
Let the church say amen.
Amen. Amen. And on that note, thank you, Osa, so much for this really important conversation. I hope the listeners definitely get some gems from this. You were speaking some facts. Once again, thank you for having me.
Yeah, I do my best. Yeah, shout out to the Let's Chat Podcast listeners. Yeah, Osa the Healer, wherever you want to find me. Let's chat. Thanks, Jennifer.
No worries. And on that note, guys, have a great week, and I'll speak to you guys soon. Take care. Hey y'all, welcome back to another episode of Let's Chat. I hope you guys had a fantastic week. This episode, I had the pleasure of speaking to dating coach DM Woods, and we kind of delved into a variety of different topics. One, of course, being about the different types of dating, the things that we do that can impact the choices that we make, and the options that we have when it comes to this thing called dating. So if you guys are interested in learning more and getting a few tips on what to do to secure the partner that you're looking for, stay tuned. Hey y'all, welcome back to another episode of Let's Chat. I hope you guys had a fantastic week. This episode, I had the pleasure of speaking to dating coach DM Woods, and we kind of delved into a variety of different topics. One, of course, being about the different types of dating, the things that we do that can impact the choices that we make, and the options that we have when it comes to this thing called dating. So if you guys are interested in learning more and getting a few tips on what to do to secure the partner that you're looking for, stay tuned.